I was drawn to a place in the sun.
Aloha, my name is Ori Kopelman, and welcome to the new show, Creating Mauitopia. Over the next 13 weeks, we will cover a complete treatment of the booklet I wrote a few years ago by the same name, Creating Mauitopia, Making Maui a Real Paradise, including taking your phone calls in the second half of the hour. I'm going to start by reading the booklet, and it's available at mauitopia.org if anybody would like to see the whole thing. So the first question is this an unreasonable proposal? That's the name of the first chapter. For thousands of years, people have envisioned the creation of an idyllic society. Some called it utopia. The dictionary officially defines utopia as an ideally perfect place, especially in its moral, political, and social aspects. Originally coined by Thomas More in the 1500s, it refers to no place on earth. Up to now, the closest realization of this may have been the 268 communities called a kibbutz in modern-day Israel. These typically have a few hundred people who volunteer to live based on Zionist and egalitarian principles. They live as a collective community responsible for all the needs of their members. Could it be that our island of Maui, with a population of 155,000 residents, will serve as humankind's first complete society where we try to put in place utopia? Might those of us here now participate in forming Mauitopia? Sounds like idealistic, wishful thinking, doesn't it? Mauitopia must have energy independence, no crime, everyone doing what they love for work, always acting in a responsible way for making our society better by recycling, doing random acts of kindness on a daily basis, and living life in a sustainable fashion. Doesn't our Ohana deserve this? Wouldn't it be nice if we could all leave our homes without locking the doors, our cars without locking up at the shopping center, and nothing would happen? Wouldn't it be nice to feel safe picking up hitchhikers? This is what most of us want. I remember the first time a few years ago when I took a walk down the beach, chose to walk barefoot, and left my slippers where I had started walking in the sand. I expected to find them there when I returned less than an hour later. They weren't. I became enraged. After all, I had moved from the mainland where someone stealing my shoes wouldn't surprise me. But here in paradise, I couldn't comprehend how a fellow islander or even a visiting tourist had helped him or herself to my inexpensive footwear. On Maui! Disillusioned and disappointed, I shuffled back to my car in the parking lot, crossing the hot asphalt road and burning my feet. A few years later, my feet had toughened up enough to not get burned. My heartache, however, has lasted to this day. Although I replaced the slippers for under $5 and still walked barefoot on the beach, since then I always carry my slippers with me and dream of a better world. Shouldn't we all be able to trust that our neighbors will respect our property? Could it be that the time for a society where we can all relax and feel that our bodies and possessions will be treated reverently by others has come? As the founder of the Zionist movement in the 1800s, Theodor Herzl said, "If you will it, it is no dream." Israel recently celebrated the 60th birthday after 2,000 years of Jews living in exile while yearning for their dream to come true. Perhaps those of us already living in paradise can take inspiration and establish a first-of-its-kind utopian society that makes our dream come true as we make Maui truly no ka'oi. Why now? What makes it possible at this time in history? After all, people have dreamt of utopia, and idealists even tried to realize such a society. Examples include the Shaker community in the United States, and 15 villages in Finland. Our technological progress has freed us from the burdens of everyday life. Only 200 years ago, 95% of the people spent their time on basic survival needs like food, clothing, and shelter. Today, it takes under 15% of the population. Simultaneously, technological changes has produced future shock. Most of us do the best we can to just keep up with the tools required now. Most of those didn't even exist one or two generations ago, including airplanes, the internet, cell phones, voicemail, etc. Many of us feel overwhelmed and in a constant struggle with time as we try to fit everything in while still maintaining a balanced and meaningful life. As an example, I've personally struggled for almost 20 years while using these technological tools. As a super high type A personality, while using them, I'd feel impatient, extremely anxious, and like I should always be more productive and accomplishing more. Our technological tools do, however, allow us individually and collectively to accomplish more. Mobility, crunching of reams of information, and global connectivity has liberated many of us and opened up new ways to work. We can now communicate inexpensively with most people on our planet while living anywhere we want to. Entrepreneurs can send emails from their laptops on the beach in Maui to do business worldwide. They can buy and sell stocks and communicate with their family and friends around the globe. All this communication happens relatively inexpensively. When I grew up, my parents treated us a few times a year to a phone call to my aunt and uncle in Europe, as it used to cost $1 a minute. Today, less than 40 years later, vendors compete to allow you to make calls for pennies a minute. In trying to create utopias, people have tried implementing Marxist and socialist societies without money. In the kibbutz in Israel, for example, its members all earn equally. Maybe we can have that someday. For now, Mauitopia will be based on a form of regulated capitalism and the power of free market economics. Politically, it will resemble the representative democratic government of the United States. It might not be the best form of government, but as Winston Churchill said, it's the worst system except for all of the others in the world. Not perfect as a system, but the power and wealth of the United States demonstrates its success. People from all over the world want to emigrate to the U.S. and fall in love with Maui once they visit it. Many people will view Mauitopia as an unthinkable or even an unreasonable proposal. After all, skeptics will point out we are all human beings, each doing the best we can to survive in a selfish world. The scientist Charles Darwin wrote his theories of evolution and survival of the fittest a little over 100 years ago, describing animal species. For them, basic survival dominates most of their lives. As human beings in the developed world, now less than 15% of our society spends its time ensuring society's basic needs. Why can't we create a utopian society that works well for everyone with the rest of our time? In the last several decades, authors have written about modern utopia to outline an attainable, not a pie in the sky society. What better place in the world to attempt to put such a utopian society into practice than here in this island paradise? While the concept has been thought of previously, technological progress and changes have occurred relatively recently to make Mauitopia a reasonable proposal. That doesn't mean it'll be easy to achieve. Many dreams, like flying or going to the moon, have required an incredible amount of imagination and effort. They also required overcoming seemingly insurmountable obstacles in their day. When President Kennedy announced in 1961 that we would land a man on the moon by the end of the decade, his chief science advisor said we don't have the electronics, metals, or fuels. As we all know, we did land a man on the moon in 1969. Similarly, we know what we need to do to create Mauitopia. Won't you please continue reading on the web at mauitopia.org and consider the proposal originally outlined in my booklet called Creating Mauitopia, Making Maui a Real Paradise. Again, available at mauitopia.org. Bonaparte Napoleon reminds us that impossible is a word to be found only in the Dictionary of Fools. As Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, the 19th century author of Faust, said, "Whatever you can do or dream, you can do. Do it now. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." Together, we can realize this proposal and give future generations the gift of viewing the creation of Mauitopia as having been a reasonable proposal. In a box, it states a definition for Mauitopia, which is, Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first of its kind place on this scale where, thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met, food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing self-actualization, a place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community, a place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Its free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make a real true paradise, Maui no ka oi. And at this point, I'm opening up the phone lines. If anybody would like to call in, and please let me know why you think it is reasonable or not a reasonable proposal, or anything else you'd like to talk about. Yeah, thanks, Jack. The phone number to call in on is, if you're not in Hawaii, it's 808. Otherwise, the phone number locally is 242-7800. Again, the phone number is 808-242-7800. And I'll be happy to take your calls. Hello.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I wondered if you had ever seen Foster Gamble, the guy that inherited Procter & Gamble. He did a movie called, or a production called Thrive. And with all of his money, he sat back and wondered why the whole country isn't thriving. And it's really interesting that he tries to explain that we should have free energy everywhere around the country with our technology. But because of the money, you have to follow the money. Our political system is slanted so that anything that would free us all up has been tainted and prohibited from coming to vote or to Congress or whatever. So I would suggest you go online and see that. And then he gets into fractional reserve banking and how there's $711 trillion of pieces of paper out there that say they're worth a dollar. It's the biggest Ponzi scheme the world has ever seen. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call, and I agree with you that the money creates part of the problem. And actually, when I ran for mayor a few years ago, one of my suggestions is to even out the scale so that just take money out of the equation, because I don't want, as a politician, for me or other people to owe people favors after the election if they do win. So that's one of my proposals for the future, is to take money out of things, including politics.
Okay, we have another caller on the air. Caller, you're live on the air. Oh, yes. Hi, my name is Shaitanya. It sounds like my friend John beat me to the telephone call, though. I think that was him just about right now. But anyway, hey, I think it's a great idea, Malitopia.
Thank you. You said your name is Shaitanya?
Shay.
Oh, Shaitanya. Thank you for your call. Thanks. I think there's a lot of us here who believe that, right?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm saying I think there are a lot of us here on Maui who think it is a great idea.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good worldwide idea. Yeah, you know, if every community, you know, decided to have Towntopia, you know, not Maui, you know, any town, every town and village, Towntopia.
Well, my hope is that it would spread around the world once it's been prototyped here on Maui, because I think it's a pretty big, tall order to have it occur anywhere.
And yeah, but we have already the amnesty of the Hawaiian. I live here in Hawaii. You know, the Hawaiian people have their amnesty. They can pretty much do whatever they want, kind of like the Native American Indians did when they got their amnesty. You know, and so they got that 2 years ago. I was rooting for that vote and it won.
Well, they certainly deserve it. It's been long enough.
I know. Thank you so much. And hey, keep on. I'm going to get your book.
Thank you, and thanks so much for the call this morning.
You're welcome.
Do you want to play a song?
Okay, we're going to take a break here. We'll play Maui Man.
I was drawn to a place in the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui Man, where the upcountry slides to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand, Maui Man. Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Balancing, dancing, precision on the crest of a swell. The crater's rim vortex embrace, under full moon bright heavens and green trees of lace, with the ginger and jasmine on cool breezes fan, Maui Man. Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man, I'll take your pain, Maui Man, catch the sun, Maui Man. Where the ocean and mountain and rainbows are one, it is part of a much higher plan, Maui Man. Maui Man, feel the rain, Maui Man, I'll take your pain, Maui Man.
Welcome back to Creating Mauitopia here on 1110 AM, 96.7 FM. That was Patricia Watson with Maui Man off the CD, Maui Man. And Ori, you had something to do with that CD, didn't you?
I was the executive producer of it.
All right. And phone lines are now open again, so if you want to call in, call 242-7800, 242-7800. And if you're off island, you can call statewide 1-866-982-7800. So give us a call here on Creating Mauitopia. Hi, caller. You're live on Creating Mauitopia on 1110 AM and 96.7 FM.
Aloha. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Hi. You know, I love what you're saying, Ori. And is Ori? I just kind of wondering. Okay, I'm getting a lot of what you're saying about aloha. You know, because I feel, you know, that there is that base of aloha, and everyone here, you know, says aloha. I think we all believe in aloha. But the aloha, of course, is what's kind of getting damaged by greed and by fear and by what you said is true. I mean, there's just so much that we need to do and so much that overwhelms us in trying to create it here. So it seems like there's like the merging of what we have to have with that aloha spirit that always gets challenged. I mean, everyone knows when we try to have that aloha spirit, it can go out the window in a second if someone cuts you off when you're driving down the road or anything. So it seems like it's always that challenge of aloha and Mauitopia or Maui, what the best we want for Maui, with the reality of what happens when we're all trying to do too much in life and are rushed and not quite feeling our completion. I just kind of wondering what you feel about how aloha works with your dream of Mauitopia.
Do you mind repeating your name?
Yeah, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. I think you bring up a great point, Cindy, and that is that one of the reasons Maui is so ideal for this is because of the aloha spirit. As imperfect as it is currently, because like I said, I'm just as guilty as many other people. When somebody cuts me off on the highway or on the roads, I get annoyed, and there goes the aloha spirit. But I guess if we all can focus on keeping the aloha spirit, we can, in fact, realize a greater dream, and as well as be decent to our fellow human beings. I think that is part of the aloha spirit, and acting that, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with the book Practicing Aloha.
Yes, definitely, yeah. I love Mark Gelman's book.
Yes, me too. So if we can just keep that in mind in everything we do, I think it can spread, and as I said, eventually spread to the rest of the world.
Well, you know, what's interesting, actually, in Mark's book is, and it surprised me the first time I read it, was how many interpretations there are of just that word of aloha. And it's so interesting because I'm sure a lot of it really has gone to just what people really are kind of hoping for in their life or thinking that it's the most valuable and precious resource, is that spirit of aloha. But there's like hundreds of different interpretations and stories and ways that people value that aloha in our lives. And I think we all have it in our hearts. I know it's there in spirit, but, you know, the reality and what happens in reality is like the practice. And that's what I think some people didn't even understand, that practice, aloha, when they first saw it. But that practice is, I think that's used in what people try to achieve when they practice yoga or they practice Zen or they practice anything, because it is, I mean, I think Mauitopia might even be a practice. I mean, it's going to be a constant, it seems like it's going to have to be a constant way of how you do your life, and not the easy ways, not just the walking on the beach, but what you do when you encounter people who aren't, that seems like the hardest part, when you encounter people who aren't practicing it, you know, how does a policeman have aloha when he has to give someone a ticket, right?
Yeah, I'm really sorry, but I have to do this.
Yeah.
We've all agreed on these laws. It really pains me more than you. But
right. I mean, and how do you do it when you see, you know, these poor, you know, the poor beings who don't have or are homeless, you know, and they're trying to survive, you know, how, is Mauitopia, or what the dream they had when they came to Maui. What happens to the homeless people or the people who've lost their homes? How is that Mauitopia for them now?
And is that, do you think that makes Mauitopia an unreasonable proposal? Because there are a certain percentage of the population who are homeless currently.
You know, I mean, that's a huge subject. And I mean, I think maybe the people who are homeless might be happier than the people who have a lot of mansions and who are trying to achieve too much. I think it's a state of being and a state of mind more than what you have. But a lot of what we think we want and have, you know, is what we think would create the best Mauitopia. It doesn't mean it's real. I don't think a lot of times we understand what we want may not be bringing Mauitopia, but we, you know, it's a great dream. You know, it's the dream creating reality is always the challenge, I think, don't you?
Yes. So you're saying that the homeless people is not really an obstacle because they may already be in Mauitopia.
Yeah, unless they have to hurt other people to keep alive or do damage to other people, and then they'll end up in jail. And I don't think, you know, that it's necessarily Mauitopia in jail, right?
Exactly. And again, the definition is there's no crime, and I define crime obviously by our laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're doing something that violates the society's laws, it's just not part of Mauitopia. We can't have that.
So how does a homeless person or someone without money, because they didn't want to or they didn't think that working was going to be their dream of Maui, I mean, you know, that's got to be incorporated in how people survive with their dreams and do it with aloha. And that's the biggest challenge. And, you know, Mauitopia, yeah, it's this is a great place to try to see if we can live in utopia. And for a lot of people, you know, they come here and they see it. They say, wow, this is paradise, right? Most of the people coming here say, gosh, this is paradise, right?
Hey, Cindy, we got another call right now. So
thanks
for your call.
All right,
thank you so much, Cindy.
Hi, caller. You're live on the air on KAOI 1110 AM and Creating Mauitopia. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Craig. I'm from Kula. Coming from Kula. And, I just wanted to say, you know, hey, sorry about your shoes.
Thanks, Craig.
Well, you know, there might have been somebody saw those shoes and going, hey, man, this guy's littering the beach.
Oh.
You know, and, I mean, I just think that, you know, if you look around, I mean, you know, we're here already. I don't know what you're, you know, I don't know. I think you're kind of like barking up the wrong tree, but, you know, hey, do a little experiment. Just go down the highway and pull off the side of the road, pop your hood open, and I bet you won't be there more than 5 minutes before five people stop to help you out.
That is for sure. Maui, in that respect, is a very helpful place. I actually,
you know, and you gotta have challenges in life too. You know,
challenges are supposed to make you
stronger.
If you
don't have challenges, you can't develop. So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Craig. And hope I don't think though I littered the beach with my shoes, which were neatly placed. I mean,
I'm just saying. Well, go down to Hokipa, leave your shoes down there. They'll be there all day long, all night, man. Let the tide wash them away.
Hokipa sounds like a fun place. I think my windsurfing days are over, though.
Okay, anyway, take care.
Thanks, Craig, so much for your call.
All right, phone lines are now open, 242-7800. If you have another call, 242-7800. So nobody's calling in, so why don't you continue there, Ori, what you got going on now?
I'm going to talk about go to chapter 2 in the booklet, which is why people consider Maui paradise now. As Cindy said, a lot of people come here and say, wow, I'm in paradise. And the reality of us who live here, and I've lived here for 20 years, we know that there are things that make it not paradise, and I'm going to get to that next week. But for now, I'm going to talk about why people consider Maui paradise now. People from all over the planet take a stroll down one of our tropical beaches on Maui, and all the worries in the world quickly fade. Palm trees sway in the light breeze, and after a 5-minute shower, a rainbow appears. The sun continues to bake them, and they think that they've died and gone to heaven. And then, from November through April, a humpback whale breaches, and their mind wonders, is this paradise? Voted for almost 10 years in a row the number one island tourist destination in the world by Condé Nast Traveler magazine, Hawaii shines its splendor on people. Our brown-skinned locals, known as the Children of the Rainbow, bask in the aloha spirit and greet visitors with smiles and laughs of joy. Meanwhile, our visitors find themselves surrounded by a glorious and diverse natural beauty. On an island about half the size of the smallest state in the United States, Rhode Island, they find 14 of the world's 16 climates. That includes everything from rainforests to deserts, thankfully lacking only the Arctic and Antarctic climates. Maui's topography resembles a head and bust of a woman with its 10,000-foot Mount Haleakala on the east side and the 6,000-foot West Maui Mountains on the west side. Only a few miles from the hot, world-famous Ka'anapali Beach, they find the second rainiest spot on Earth atop these mountain peaks. At the same time, Hawaii is the single most isolated spot on Earth, as over 2,000 miles separate it from the nearest continental landmass. Exclusive and remotely located, the Hawaiian island chain lends itself nicely to being called paradise. Currently home to about 140,000 residents and with an average of 25,000 tourists each day, life seems ideal. Our microcosm island houses many cultures, races, and creeds that coexist here in seeming peace and harmony, including Hawaiians, Japanese, Filipinos, Chinese, Portuguese, Mexicans, Koreans, and more. Dolphins and children play in our waters. Our minds conclude that we found utopia. Maui is paradise. That's the end of chapter 2, and that's an explanation why many people consider Maui paradise already. And I'd like to urge anybody who's out there who can call, please give us a call. We'd love to hear your ideas, whether you agree or disagree with Maui-topia. Jack's already given us the phone number. It's 242...
Gary.
I'm sorry, Gary. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm the good-looking one. So, yeah, go ahead and give us a call if you want to call in, 242-7800, 242-7800. So what's up next on your agenda there, Ori, while they're waiting for people to call in?
Well, we wanted to discuss whether this is a reasonable idea or if it's a pie-in-the-sky, new-age, airy-fairy kind of idea. And so I really would like to have some challenges. I mean, we've already talked about why it is possible and why it seems probable for a place like Maui. But there's got to be somebody out there. Statistically, there's a percentage of you out there who think this is a crazy idea. It can't be accomplished, certainly now or in our lifetimes. One of the terms I covered in the definition was that we would have form it under the existing system, which is regulated capitalism. And a good friend of mine asked me, what does that mean? So let me talk for a second about regulated capitalism. And that is, when we go to the store and we buy a carton of milk, one of the things that is regulated by the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, is the fact that our food is safe. And we all count on that. And to some extent, some of these controls are required. There may be too many controls, and there may not be the right controls, but at the same time, we need to have those controls in place.
Oh, looks like we have a phone call, Ori. Hello, caller. This is 1110 AM, and you're live on the air on Creating Mauitopia. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, looks like they hung up. Maybe they didn't want to be live on the air, maybe.
Oh, I guess you scared them, huh?
I guess. It was probably Jack calling in to give me heck.
I was just covering regulated capitalism and saying that I think that is the best hope, because again, something like a socialistic society where in theory we're all doing what we love and contributing to the rest of the society, I mean, that would be great, and then money should not be part of the equation. We all should be earning equally, if in theory. But for the time being, at this particular moment in history, I think it's better to just make it happen with regulated capitalism, which is the existing system that we have here in Maui, which allows people to make their own money, including entrepreneurs who have added a lot to the society. if anybody would like to call, it'd be great. I'd like to have somebody take the another point of view, or even continue taking my point of view, because creating Mauitopia is not going to be an easy thing to do, even on an island with our population of 155,000 people, where there are obstacles. And as one of our callers said, it's true that the obstacles are something that needs to be overcome. That will make us stronger. I'm wondering if I should go on to the...
Maybe just continue. And then if you want to call in, we'll interrupt, or you can just go ahead. The phone lines are still open, 242-7800, 242-7800.
So now I'm going to go into Chapter 3, which is the...
There we go.
Okay, I'm going to stop.
This is KAY 1110 AM. Hello, caller. You're live on Creating Mauitopia. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Jake in Haiku.
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
Hi, Jake.
I just turned on the show, and this guy sounds like a communist. And you got to consider there is a significant part of our population that doesn't believe in any form of our state or national government. They want the Hawaiian kingdom to be returned, and that is a monarchy. So how are you going to include those reinstated Hawaiian nation people in this?
Well, I'm glad you brought them up, because we all owe a tremendous amount to the Hawaiian people. And what happened back in 1897, it happened. And maybe it was not legal, maybe it was wrong. But we are where we are today, and I don't think that we're going to be able to change the state of Hawaii. Maui will continue being part of the state of Hawaii, and we need to somehow incorporate the Hawaiian people into that society. Now, one of the societies on the planet that has done a good job of integrating an indigenous culture is New Zealand. There are 1 million Maori people, the original people who lived there, and they have integrated with the 4 million white people who came later into their form of government. And they have done it in a way that is not perfect, but I think is a good model for how we here in Hawaii could integrate in a more fair way the Hawaiian people. Now, certainly the fact that currently there are Hawaiian lands, there are people who can prove that they have some percentage of Hawaiian in them, they can get really good deals on property and on homes. So that's already a big step in the right direction. I'm not a communist by any means of the imagination. I'm a big believer in capitalism, so I just want to make that point. And as I said, it's got to be a form of regulated capitalism. Jack, are you still on the air?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, are you...
There's a lot of code words in your speak, that the equality, that everybody should be the same. That's communism, dude. You can call it something else. That's communism. And, I mean, you might not be 100% Marxist, but as soon as you start talking about equality and how it's got to be more fair, you're a Marxist. So...
Well, more fair, if you're talking about economically, I said that would be something in the long term. That's not anything we can do in the world today. And
yeah, well, okay, so your first step is socialism, and eventually you're going to try and make it communism, and it doesn't work.
I definitely agree with you. We have we're fortunate in the sense that we, in our lifetime, have seen communist attempts in Eastern Europe or wherever that have failed. And so there's no reason to put communism in place. I think that'd be crazy.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep listening.
Okay, Jack. Thank you so much for your call. And do you drink coffee?
Oh. All right. The phone lines are open again. So if you want to call in, 242-7800, 242-7800. Do you agree with Jake, or do you agree with Ori, or... you have your own opinion, give us a call, see what you think. Go ahead, or you might as well continue until we get another call in there.
Okay, so I'm going on to Chapter 3 in the book, which is going to talk about the reality of why Maui's not paradise now, despite the fact that many of the tourists think that it already is. Looks can deceive, however. Many of our residents have to work 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet. Crime has increased in the last few decades, led by an ice epidemic, the drug crystal methamphetamine. Allow me to share 3 examples of crime I've been a victim of in Maui, which many islanders may have fallen prey to as well. In the approximately 15 years I've lived here, my house in Kula has been burglarized. My insurance company reimbursed me $15,000 for the incident and then canceled my policy the following year. Subsequently, I had a home alarm system installed, which notifies police right away. The car I used to drive, a 2-year-old Subaru Forester, was stolen and torched in a cane field. I now proudly drive a fuel-efficient hybrid that gets 40 miles per gallon. Happily, the police found the 17-year-old who did it. When the detective interrogated him as to why he burned it, he claimed that because he had never seen a car go up in flames before in his life. I attended his sentencing hearing. And I would add that I wish certainly no harm to the kid, but at the same time, our laws did in fact punish him, and he spent some time in jail, although since it was his first offense, it was a relatively minor amount, and he's back out. Another woman had her vehicle stolen by the same gentleman in the same week as mine. His lawyer blamed a brief ice period he had in his life, and the judge ordered him to stay in prison for a year and be on probation for 5 years. A friend of mine who knew him said his father's been in jail for quite some time and that beer runs through his bloodstream. On our small island, about 2 cars per week get stolen. Over half of those get recovered by the police pretty quickly, as often teenagers just take them for joyrides and then abandon them. And as a final personal example, at a public beach restroom in Kihei, while changing in broad daylight, I was fondled by a stranger. Fortunately, though the event scared me, it only lasted a few minutes and resulted in no injury. My personal karma doesn't warrant these 3 personal stories of crimes I've experienced in quote-unquote paradise. Our healthcare lags behind most states in the nation, and our teenagers unfortunately lead in obesity. The island's growth has outpaced its infrastructure, creating problems of a lack of water availability, traffic on our roads, still nothing compared to San Francisco or Los Angeles or Honolulu, and a shortage of critical professions like nurses, doctors, teachers and policemen. We need more of those. While we boast the lowest unemployment rate in the United States, we also have the highest price for a gallon of gas for our automobiles. Furthermore, while jobs abound making $10 an hour, skilled work paying, say, $50,000 per year is hard to find. We also have one of the highest home prices in the nation, and rents rival major cities like San Francisco or New York. And food prices are about 20% above the mainland, and utilities 100% above. Making a living on Maui is challenging, especially with a scarcity of good paying jobs. For most working class people on Maui, especially those with families, it takes several jobs of very long hours to break even. Finally, our children suffer from an education system that not only lags behind most of the states in the United States, but fails to prepare them for the few good paying jobs. Consistently ranked in the 10 lowest states for public schools, we spend the 16th highest amount, $9,876 per pupil. When kids turn 18 years old, many of them have leave to the mainland in search of an easier life. Doesn't sound like a paradise after all, does it? And that's the end of chapter two. So now we have looked both at why people consider Maui to be paradise already and why it is not paradise, because it involves some things like crime and a lack of infrastructure.
And a lack of good paying jobs. A lot of the jobs here are just like service jobs and that kind of thing. There's not really any kind of high skilled kind of.
Right.
Yeah.
We are still a tourist-driven economy.
Exactly, yeah.
Although, again, entrepreneurs can do pretty amazing things thanks in part to the internet.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the times the entrepreneur kind of stuff, it's a one-man band or a two-person kind of operation. And
which is really perfect, because that means you can sit in your home and watch your kids while you're doing it, and
sit in your shorts and slippers, and
exactly, and yet you're running a business,
right.
Perfect place to do it from. I think I had shared that somebody who runs the I guess they call it pedicabs, the horses with buggies,
right.
New York City, runs the business from Maui.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that.
Yes.
That's cool.
It is cool, and anything is possible, and it's only limited really by creativity and hard work.
All right, phone lines are open still, the 242-7800. We have about 5 minutes left in the show, so if you want to call in, now's the time to do it. Okay, let's take a little short, leave a little musical interlude here again. Hold on a second here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right, as soon as we started the music, somebody called in, so hang on a second here. All right, caller, you're live on 1110 AM. This is Creating Mauitopia. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I was one of the things that I have been noticing has been the shrinking of the middle class. And even though we can have entrepreneurs produce things, it's getting to the point now where so many people have such little disposable income that it becomes almost difficult for them to buy things more than just what they need for survival. And, as a single person to live on Maui, you need to be making almost $20 an hour if I'm living by myself. So it's a little difficult. I just wonder if you might be able to address that, even though you only have a few minutes left.
You don't live by yourself. That's one option, right?
Get some roommates.
I'm suggesting to get a roommate to help absorb some of the costs, because you're right, living as a single person, it's expensive.
Right, and it's very difficult because I'm, at whatever month, I almost have to have two jobs in order to just live on Maui, and that's only taking care of myself.
Right.
And, even just to buy a computer and do other things, it's almost like, taking myself out to a movie is a great adventure almost, because I'm spending money on myself, which I don't usually get an opportunity to. So I just think that it's the middle class deteriorating is making a major difference in our buying ability.
Scary, do you want to say something?
No. Oh. We have another caller. Do you want to answer that, or you want to get another caller?
No, I agree that the middle class is shrinking. We're getting more people on the poor line and on the rich line as well. But is there any way you could think of something entrepreneurial to supplement your income? I don't know what it would be, but
right. Well, the other thing I just wanted to know is that the price of gas having already gone up almost $2 per gallon, my wages haven't kept up with that, and I mean, just having to pay for gas is getting to be expensive. So I just, it's not just me, and even if we were all entrepreneurs, we would still need somebody to buy. And I think we're running out of those people. So I'll listen to your show on the radio, but thank you very much for listening to me. Right,
thanks so much for your call.
Go ahead, caller. You're live on 1110 AM. This is Creating Mauitopia. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I didn't catch all of your show, but I have a statement to make.
Go ahead.
I think...
What's your name, by the way?
Oh, Jay.
Oh, thanks, Jay.
All right. Listen, one of the things I think that's happening here is happening on the mainland is that those who have and the have and the have-mores and the have-nots need to come together. This is an island, after all, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. If anything were to really happen tragically, we really have to depend on each other.
Right.
And I think this is an opportunity that we can really demonstrate all this that we were talking about. I heard you say earlier about aloha, but I caught the tail end of that. That can be displayed within just general human behavior. The same that you would do in your family setting. There's certain people in your family that are making an enormous amount of money and certain people in your family that are struggling. But usually most families will go out and help the person, not necessarily monetarily, but giving them information of how to be self-sufficient. And I think that's one of the things people that live in the gated communities, some of them have a real resistance of interacting with the general public. And I think that there were programs or just, you know, people that would go out and just reach out into the ones that really need and just give them information more so than just the funds to do X, Y, and Z. Because I think that the more that people know how to support themselves in the way that those who have been very fortunate to have an enormous amount of income, at least they can make an improvement in their lives. So the people, in my opinion,
All right. Thank you, caller.
Thanks, Jay, so much.
We're about running out of time here. So listen in every Monday at 7:06 to Creating Mauitopia with Ori Kopelman. And Ori, a few final words to say? We got about 30 seconds.
I think people remember when the tsunami warning came that a lot of people on the island tried to help each other. And one of the ideal things that Jay brought up is that we are on an island and we all need to help each other. And even though we live in a regulated capitalism society, we still all need to help each other. And thankfully, the Maui County government has some things like the Office for the Aging, etc.
We're out of time. Thank you, Kimberly.